Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Eye of the Tiger will be needed for the LSU baseball team heading to Rocky Top. They're already there, actually, getting ready for their Super Regional Series against Tennessee. We welcome in Trey Wallace, who covers the Vols in the SEC for RockyTopInsider.com. Trey, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening. Hope everybody's doing well down the Gulf Coast.
Definitely are. And how are the Vols faithful feeling about this LSU team back in Tennessee? I know Coach Maneri did not appreciate the fans the first go around, and that was a limited capacity crowd. Are you guys at full capacity now?
Yeah, so it's actually full capacity. It started back during the Arkansas series.
Okay.
Goodness, that was about, 4 weeks ago? So, yeah, it's full capacity. They expect probably around 4,100 people inside the stadium and probably another 2,000 to 3,000 people outside of the stadium since they announced they are having a block party, kind of like a watch party type deal right outside the stadium all three games, if it goes.
Is there a big monitor outside they're going to be watching on?
Yeah, you know how they do it, you know, some college football games, stuff like that, right. Or pro sports. You know, they'll have a monitor. They'll go, I don't know, big screen set up and probably a couple of them, maybe those blow up or those theater type things. And they decided, look, a lot of people could not get in, and Tennessee fans are, you know, a lot of them, the common fan, were pretty aggravated. They couldn't get into the game because of the big money donors that came in and bought up all the tickets. And so they just decided to, you know, to do them a favor and let them come enjoy the atmosphere outside the stadium. So
college baseball's back, baby.
We're you gotta love it.
I am curious. So that was a topic this week with LSU, and you know, I don't know if it was overblown. There was, you know, the crowd specifically was getting after it. Let's put it that way. In that first series, Drew Bianco said that he had an interesting take, which was he felt like it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. There was just so few people there that you could hear every single person and everyone yelling. It wasn't the usual like dull roar. So that's why it felt like there was more like specific, I don't know. What's your take on that? I assume you were there. Did you notice anything?
Yeah. I did. So when you have capacity at around 30% and you've only got a 4,200 seat stadium, look, I mean, they're allowing, you know, some students to be in there as well. Look, it's college baseball. You're going to have trash talk just as much as there would be if there was 4,000 or 12,000 people down in Baton Rouge. I mean, and look, they had fun with it. These are college kids, you know, and they're going to have a great time. And if they're going to heckle, they're going to heckle. It'd just like be a college football game. But like you said, you know, you can't really hear a lot of it if there's too many people in the stands. But yeah, it was a rowdy atmosphere. It was a fun atmosphere. If you're a college baseball fan or just a purist, kind of like I am, and you know, you look at it, and maybe it was a distraction because, you know, Paul Maneri has not stopped talking about it ever since that weekend. And I don't know if that is some kind of rallying cry for LSU to try to get them even more motivated coming to Knoxville, which I don't think they need to be. They're playing really good baseball. I don't think you need any extra motivation coming to Knoxville, but it's something that, you know, to me, it's interesting because it's something that hasn't gone away and they keep bringing it up. And it's like, why do you keep beating a dead horse about it? We've all seen games in Arkansas or Ole Miss or Mississippi State. I just, you know, I think with the way things went that weekend and the way that Tennessee won, you know, maybe that got underneath the skin of LSU players a little bit. And that's completely understandable because it's a tough series. But I just don't see the big deal out of it. And, you know, if LSU wants to make that a storyline, then so be it. It's good for clicks.
Yeah, me personally, I prefer heckling over a cowbell any day of the week.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, you're right. You're on the same page as me. Look, I grew up and lived in Mobile, Alabama for 25 years of my life, and I know all about the cowbells, and trust me, I would definitely take heckling over listening to that for four quarters of a football game.
So going into this matchup, now the Super Regional, has your head coach announced a starting pitcher for Saturday yet? Because LSU is still unsure, although we're thinking it's going to be Landon Marceau.
I would think LSU would go with Landon. I think Tennessee is going to end up doing the same thing they did last weekend, which is roll Chad Dallas out there on Saturday night. You know, Tennessee's thinking is, and so is LSU's, look, you got to win your first two games. You don't want to have to get to an elimination game, so throw your aces. And Tennessee played that strategy well last weekend with throwing Chad Dallas on Friday night and got the win over Wright State, and then backing that up with Blade Tidwell on Saturday. So I think that's the move that Tony's going to end up making, and I think it's a smart one, just like I think Paul Maneri, you know, working his lineup and bullpen and how they're going to roll their starting rotation. Both these teams know Friday night is so key because you don't want to come back Saturday, and both of them are going to be in an elimination game if it comes down to it. So, yeah, that's how Tennessee's going to roll Saturday night.
So, obviously, you know, the big storyline that's going to be talked about all week, Paul Maneri is retiring after the season. LSU doesn't know who its coach is going to be next season. You know, has that been kind of a focus of, like, you know, how do we make sure our players don't get kind of overwhelmed by that flood of, you know, energy on the LSU side? Like, how do they match that? Because it feels like it's easy to get.
Well, it is, and you also have to take a look at it as well. That, look, all these players read social media. They keep up with everything that's going on, maybe not as much during a week like this, but, you know, I think that in Tennessee's case, you know, Tennessee fans were worried, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, okay, is Tony Vitello going to go to College Station? Is Tony Vitello going to be on the list of at least five for the job down at LSU? You know, so that was the worry in Knoxville 2-3 weeks ago. I think now when you look at the situation in them knowing, like players don't, I don't see 18 to 20-year-old players really worrying about if it's a coach's last game or not. But they understand, you know, in talking with a couple of players this week and Tony Vitello, look, they do understand how much Paul's given to the game, and they also understand that, look, that LSU roster, that team is going to come in. They don't want their head coach to lose. They want to make it to Omaha. So I think that they look at the situation, and maybe it'll be talked about tomorrow. But once they hit the field, they could really care less who the opposing head coach is and if he's retiring or not after the season.
When you look at the Tennessee lineup, a bunch of guys that can mash in there and just seem to be producing when they were called upon and when needed.
Yeah, Tennessee has a few players, and I say few. Tennessee's so – it's interesting. You know, Tennessee's got one of the top hitters in the seven hole. You know, when you look at the way Drew Gilbert's been playing, Max Ferguson, Liam Spence, and then especially Evan Russell, the senior outfielder, the way they've been able to produce late in games. You know, that's one thing with Tennessee in their roster when it comes to hitting. Set aside pitching for a minute. When it comes to the hitting, they're never out of games. And I think they proved that point kind of Friday night against Wright State.
Right.
But this is a roster that's going to be able to get you out of jams, you know, at the sixth spot or the eighth spot. You know, it's interesting to me in all of college baseball how these coaches flip their rosters around and try to find the hits late in the lineup. And Tennessee's done such a good job this year of being able to get that momentum where you're not worried about, okay, we're going into the bottom of the ninth inning and we've got our seventh hitter, you know, batter coming up. Tennessee doesn't worry about that type of thing. because they've been able to produce all season. And that's what's been interesting about this Tennessee squad is the amount of runs they get off their late-end batters, and especially on-base percentage. You know, it doesn't really hurt Tennessee, and I think Tony Vitello has done a good job of managing his hitting lineup. And you know what? We'll see if it pays off this weekend. But for the time, you guys have seen the highlights, you know, Tennessee hitting walk-off grand slams and walk-off homers to beat teams. And you saw that when Tennessee played LSU earlier in the season. They really don't have to worry about too much their back end, and I think that's what benefits them a lot.
So going back to that, obviously that series was in March. It feels like a lifetime since then. But
I know.
So for, you know, if you're talking, just put yourself in the perspective of talking to someone who just watched that Tennessee-LSU series and now they're trying to watch the Super Regional. From Tennessee's perspective, you know, what would you say is the most significant change for Tennessee from then to now?
I would say Liam Spence, leadoff type of guy, being able to come in there, you know, playing that infield spot, being able to get his – look, he was going through a slump heading into the SEC tournament. He was sitting right around 2-for-19, was not, you know, just not seeing the ball well at the plate. I think he's come along strong over the last week and a half. And I think you're seeing a lot of, you know, a player like Luke Lipsius, you know, playing first base, but could come in there and be a big bat for you. You know, that's something that, you know, I don't want to say he was struggling with, you know, earlier in SEC play, but he's really come on strong over the last 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks as well, and got them out of some tough situations. I think Tennessee has finally settled down in certain spots when it comes to their hitting. I think you can always rely on a guy like Max Ferguson, Drew Gilbert, Evan Russell, players like that, and not, you know, not to miss Jake Rucker, third baseman, who has always been just hot for Tennessee when it comes to clutch situations for them and pivotal spots in the game. But when you look at it, look, there's not much different when it comes to Tennessee pitching, because Tennessee has not broken away from their starting three over the weekend since the second series of the year. It's always been either Dallas, Tidwell, Heflin in one of those orders. And usually, you know, it's Dallas, Heflin, and Tidwell. But they haven't broken that away, and I think Tennessee's pitching, you know, has been solid from the starting spot. Where Tennessee can get in trouble, I think personally, is if they get deep in their bullpen. You know, they have guys like Camden Sewell, Sean Hundley. But, you know, you saw a pitcher like Kirby Connell come in this past weekend, and he got six pitches in, and he had to be yanked. You know, if LSU was going to take advantage of Tennessee from the pitching part of it, it's get them into their bullpen and see if they can come out of it. Because, you know, when you look at how deep they are, yeah, I would say Tennessee is too deep in the bullpen, maybe three deep. But if you get them in problems and situations like we've seen around the SEC this year, I think that's where LSU could take advantage of what's going on, you know, with Tennessee's bullpen, and could contribute to a lot of runs for the Tigers.
Talking to Trey Wallace, who covers Tennessee and the SEC for RockyTopInsider.com. And have you been entrenched in this coaching rumor carousel, I guess, going on for the LSU Tigers? Kevin O'Sullivan, Pat Casey, been some names that have been mentioned for the LSU Tigers. But there doesn't seem to be anything etched in stone, obviously, as of yet.
Yeah, it's weird. I would have thought Kendall Rogers from D1, who does a great job. You know, he put out that Paul Casey was the leading candidate. And I think that was yesterday. My days are getting all messed up. I think that was yesterday. And then you've got Sullivan, who comes out and just, you know, that's weird. Puts out a statement like that he's committed, you know, to Florida and he wants to be at Florida. Okay, well, what were you doing having conversations with Scott Woodard 2.5 weeks ago about the job? You know, so, you know, and we all know how college coaching works. Okay. Right. We get it. They got to put out the statement. Oh, I'm committed to this university. No, I'm not flirting with anybody. I didn't have a 2.5 hour conversation with Scott Woodard about the LSU baseball job. And then, you know, they didn't end up offering me at the end, you know, maybe because of some quote off the field issues that might be going on. It's so interesting to me. I think Texas A&M did fantastic in their hire. got out, got a winner. I think when you look at it right now around the landscape, and even here in Knoxville, guys, you know, Tennessee's got to step up here and pay Tony Vitello. You know, this is a coach who's making around $600 per year. His assistant coaches are greatly underpaid compared to other coaches, assistant coaches around the SEC. They've got to make a commitment that they're going, look, we're going to take care of the assistant coaches. We're going to take care of the facility. We're going to build up the stadium up here. And we're going to try, you know, we're going to do our damnedest to keep Tony Vitello here. And I think that's what ended up happening. But Tony's going to be a million-dollar coach after this season's over. And when you look at around college baseball, you know, there's so many different variables that could play out in the next couple of years. You know, I think, the last time we saw an SEC to SEC switch in head coachings was, Cohen at Mississippi State, I think it was. So I just look at the way the landscape is right now around college baseball. The money is starting to pick up a good amount, and I think the assistant coaching money as well, where, you know, you look at Tennessee's case. Tennessee's assistant coaches, you know, two of them have had opportunities to move on to bigger and better jobs, and they decided to stick around with Tony Vitello. I think if these universities pay these coaches the right amount and do right by them, there's going to be loyalty. I mean, just look what Vanderbilt's doing, you know, with Tim Corbin. So, look, to sum it up, it's all crazy. They're all going to put out their wacky statements. You know, it's a lot different than college basketball or college football, where there's 10 names that are thrown out and literally only one or two of them actually make sense for the job. So I'm interested to see what LSU does. And if they can get it done with Casey, then get it done. Get it signed on the dotted line. If not, you know, then maybe you have to go a different direction.
Talking with Trey Wallace, covering Tennessee and the SEC for RockyTopInsider.com. Appreciate the time, and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Look, I'm looking forward to my Gulf Coast brethren down there, you guys bringing us some crawfish this weekend. I need my crawfish. So thank you for having me on. Y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy the series.
Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Hanging out on Sports Talk here, Jeff Nowak and Steve Geller bringing you up to the 8 o'clock hour before we hand it off to CBS. Coming back right here on Sports Talk on WWL right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.